Finish up Hebrews 12 today. It's a long text. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the text is verse 18 to through the end of the chapter. So could you stand and I'll read verse 26 through the end of the chapter, and we will go back and contemplate both of those paragraphs. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm again reading at verse number 26. It reads, "At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, 'Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.'" This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of all things that are shaken. That is, the things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Wow. "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Amen.
Amen.
Father, we bow now before you and confess that we are privileged to know you. We are privileged to be loved by you, and we're privileged to love you. Meet us now, Lord, because we want to hear from you. We are your children, and we want to hear you speak to us. Speak, Lord. Your people listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, God bless you. You may be seated. All right. For the last time, our subject is, again, finish your race. By way of reminder, connecting the dots again, you know that we've said the Christian life is often referred to as a race, right? And Christians are often referred to as athletes. We saw, as we looked at the early part of chapter 12, that God wants us to be able to look at what people that have lived in the past to enable us to finish our race. He also, obviously, most importantly, wants us to fix our eyes on Jesus. He's our hero. He's our example that will enable us to finish our race. We saw in verse 4 that we have sin in us. We've got sin around us, and we've got a world and a devil that is determined to keep us from finishing. So we've got to struggle against sin. We've got to actually learn to resist sin so that we can finish. Temporary pleasure is not worth you being sidetracked from your race, from your course. Yes? We also saw in verses 5 through 11 that God disciplines us along the course because he plans for us to finish. And that discipline, we learn, the Bible says that discipline isn't always pleasant. As a matter of fact, discipline is never pleasant. Okay? So the loss of the job, or the broken relationship that was so hurtful, or so many things that come along the way. God knows that I needed to break that off so that you could finish. That was weighing you down. You never would have let it go on your own. So God disciplines and says, learn the lesson I was teaching you. Don't go back and pick that up again. That you thought that the job or somebody else took that away from you. God, when God disciplines, he wants us to be able to discern that was him. Don't be angry at his agent, the one that he used, you see. We have to learn to see discipline from God. And he says it's never pleasant. And those of us, everybody's been a child here. You know that if you got real discipline, it wasn't intended to be pleasant. But your parents wanted you to learn a lesson, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so God disciplines those whom he loves. All right, so we saw that. And then finally, no, that's not final. We also saw that in 12 and 13, that you've got to keep moving when it's hard. And when it doesn't make sense, you've got to keep moving toward the goal. You may not be sprinting, but moving. You can't sit down. This is not a spectator life that we have here. In our church, you cannot think that you're here as a spectator. We're all moving toward the goal that God has planned for us, yes? So then verse 12 and 13, that'll help us finish our race. And then finally, we saw last time that you've got to work hard. You've got to strive for peace and holiness. The Bible says that if you don't have holiness, you won't see God. You've got to strive to be holy. Don't be satisfied with where you are. No one has arrived. You can be more like Christ, yes? You can conform more. There's more that needs to be shed. More that needs to be... You're carrying around a lot more than you would like. If you think of it as an athlete that begins to get down to what they call their best weight or their most effective weight. And you may not be... You may have lost some, but the coach says... you need to drop a few more pounds because you'll be even more effective when you face that wind resistance and those kinds of things. All right? So strive for peace and holiness. Now, let's try to put it all together with these two last paragraphs. What I want to show you today is that with everything that I've said, God speaks. And he expects us to listen. And I want you to see these two big ideas here as we wrap up today. And this won't be very long. But I want you to see that there's a privilege in hearing from God. It's a great privilege to be able to hear from God.
Amen.
But then, once you have heard, there is a great responsibility that comes with it.
Amen, amen.
Remember how the New Testament says it to whom much is what?
Given
much is required. When you have heard from God, he expects more from you. Alright? Now, so let's unpack this and work it through today. So the first thing that our this pastor does here in Hebrews 12 is he shows that this is not new. God spoke to his people in the Old Testament. You know that. You know that this is not new. So, you got your Bible? Look at verses 18 through 21. Turn there with me. For you have not come to what may be touched. Well, let me show you what we're looking at first. I want you to notice, get this, listen to it when I read it. When God communicates with his people and there is no mediator, it's terrifying. It's awful. I should say that. I mean, but it's a terrifying experience for you to have to deal one-on-one with God with no one there to mediate for you. Okay? That's what he wants all of us to see. So all of us long to hear from God, but you don't want to hear from God without a mediator. Okay? So you got it? You got verse 18? Now I want you to think about that in verse 18. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest. Verse 19, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. You get the picture? Most of you probably know the story. If you read the story of Exodus 19, you remember God delivered Israel out of Egypt. And he brought them to the wilderness place where he was wanting them to worship. Brought them to what's called Mount Sinai. Okay, and there they are at Mount Sinai, ready to worship God. And God says, there's so much history here, and I really can't develop the whole thing. But I got to give you this much. They were 47 days out of Egypt. Okay? And God says, I want you to take 3 days and cleanse yourself. Because you can't meet with God on your own. You got to be ready to meet with God. 3 days to sanctify and purify yourself. Okay? Now, what is 47 plus 3? 50, right? And so, what you get here is a picture of what happens at Pentecost, okay? Amen. And so, there they are before this mountain. And God's about to come down on the mountain and speak. Alright? And so, they're there, and God has told them, you've got to be very, very careful. You can't even let an animal accidentally rub up against them. This mountain is so holy that it will kill them on the spot. Uh-huh. Right? And so, you can imagine the people are terrified. We can't touch it. But then that's bad. But then all of a sudden the thunder starts and the lightning and trembling and smoke. It's a terrifying experience. And then God speaks. Mm-hmm. And then you find him giving the law and telling them how to live, right? And so that's what's being portrayed before here, that we have before us. They realize we want to hear from God, but not like this. This is a terrifying experience right here. And so, as a matter of fact, you know what they say. As you saw right here in this text, they begged for a mediator. Lord, don't speak to us like that again. Right?
Right.
And you find that in the Exodus 20, verses 18 and 19. So, what's your point, Brother Willie, is this. God spoke in the Old Testament, and he speaks in the New Testament, which we're going to see. But they learn in the Old Testament, just like you and I know in the New Testament, you do not want to deal with God without a mediator.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, Moses admits, I think in Deuteronomy 9:19 or something like that. Moses admits that he was terrified. He was terrified. You know that statement that you got here at the end of you're looking at verse 21. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear." Okay, so Moses is a type of Christ. Because Moses serves as the what? Mediator for the people. They said to Moses, you go meet with God and what? Then you come back and tell us what God has to say. They knew they needed a mediator. You and I need to know the same. Yes? It's a terrifying thing as Hebrews to fall in the hands of an angry God. You don't want to do that. So, then we move on to the New Testament. Verse 23 and 24. You got your Bible? Look at those. But you have come to Mount Zion. So you see, Mount Zion is being contrasted with what? Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was how the Old Testament people met with God. Mount Zion is how we now meet with God. Mm-hmm. They learned they needed a mediator. You and I have learned it as well. You've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festive gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And finally, verse 24, and to Jesus. That, you got it? Who is Jesus?
The mediator.
Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Now, what does all of that mean, Brother Willie? I tried to sum it up here in a couple of sentences. What it means is this. God's people in the New Testament have the true mediator, right? Moses was a type of the true mediator. Jesus is the true mediator. We have him as our mediator. He has lived, He has died and he has what? Ascended into heaven. So we come to the heavenly host. We come to the city of Jerusalem that's in heaven. That's where Jesus is. And you all know 1 Timothy 2:5 speaks of Jesus as the only mediator between God and men. That's why we love him. We love him because he mediates between us and God. We love him because he is the one. Without him, none of us can stand.
Amen.
Without him, who could have any confidence to come here today and be in God's presence? We'd be just like the ones tripping at that mountain. But we got a mediator that says that they're forgiven. You're in Christ. You are now God's child. Isn't it wonderful? But it's because of the mediator. So he's lived, he's died, and he's ascended to heaven. And this next phrase is wonderful. Y'all look at my statement here. This is absolutely wonderful. You see that 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Y'all know the story of Abel, right? The first murder in the Bible was committed between two siblings, right?
Right.
One brother killed the other one. Killed a man because he was jealous and envious that God was pleased with his sacrifice and his offer. He was jealous of his relationship with God. Now, the Bible says, though Abel died, he still speaks, right? He's still crying. You and I are talking about Abel right now. And he died generations and generations ago. But you see, Abel's blood cries out for vengeance. What does Jesus' blood, what does his life and death cry out for? What does his sacrificial, his substitutionary death cry out for? Forgiveness. That's the reason it's called a better word than the blood of Abel. Mm-hmm. If we didn't have that word, there's no way you and I would have any peace. If we didn't know that Jesus died that we might be forgiven, there is no way you could have any peace with God. But he was wounded, what? For our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, what? We are healed. That's the confidence that we have. Yes?
Amen.
Yeah, his life and his substitutionary death speaks so wonderfully for us. And so as we leave this point and try to move to our last point, I want you to listen to these three sentences that I wrote. Number one, God speaks to and disciplines those whom he loves. He's done it in the past and he's doing it right now. If you are a Christian, God loves you and he disciplines you because he loves you. Thank him for that.
Amen.
Don't resist it. Don't run from it. Thank God for his loving discipline. He is determined to get you from where you are to the finish. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Yes. He loves, he disciplines those that he loves. Now listen to me. Keep listening now. He offers forgiveness to us now through Christ, and Jesus teaches us how to live now. Get it? God has forgiven us through Christ, and Christ comes to us and says, now I want to teach you how to live this new life. Christ is our teacher. Amen. And then the last statement is this. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit speaks to us clearly today so that we may finish the race. What do you mean, Brother William? You don't need to be thinking about having dreams and visions. You got so many people today that think that's how you got to get a word from God. God has already given you his word and his spirit.
Amen.
Now, yeah, he may give you a dream. That's all right. But he speaks to, he will speak to you every day. Get along with it.
Amen.
He has already, the Bible clearly tells you that God has already spoken. You have His Word, and He will guide you. You believe that? Yes, He will. It's a privilege to hear from God. Lastly, I say to you, it's also a responsibility. And it's a serious responsibility to hear from God. These verses teach us that once you have heard, and if you disobey, you set yourself up for destruction. There is destruction for disobedience. What do you mean, brother? Well, you got your Bible? Look at verse 25. Verse 25 reads, "See that you do not refuse him who is speaking." Now, he's not just talking to people. This is not written to people in the Old Testament. This passage is writing to people in the church, right? "See that you do not refuse him who is speaking." Keep reading. "For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape." You notice that the pastor includes himself in this? He didn't say much less will you. We, none of us is going to escape if you're going to refuse to obey God. "Much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven." You get the contrast there? If they didn't escape when God was warning them on earth, Jesus has now ascended to heaven. He's warning you from heaven. You think you're going to get away? Absolutely not. You got verse 26? "At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. What does all that mean, Brother Willie? It means, you look at my statement. God speaks, and He offers forgiveness. The gospel offers forgiveness to all who will believe. The gospel says, Jesus says, "Come to me," right? All who are weary, all who are burdened, heavy laden under the burden of your sin, and I'll do what? Give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. My yoke is what? Easy. My burden is light. And so God speaks and He offers forgiveness. But that God also warns of destruction if you're going to be stubborn and disobedient. And it's not an idle warning. Anybody that has read your Bible, you see, when God warns and people don't take Him seriously, people die. Uh-huh. You say, "Well, that's the way He was in the Old Testament." You need to read your New Testament. Read about Ananias and Sapphira and different ones that took God lightly. God is not playing a game. Right here at Trinity, don't get overly concerned about how many seats are empty. You need to be concerned about the ones that are filled.
Amen.
Making sure that we hear from God and we know what God is calling us to do.
That's right.
Yes?
Amen.
Because we want to finish. And if our role is to just be pioneers for those who... I'm not trying to prophesy what's going to happen. But we need to be hearing from God. Not me.
Amen.
Amen.
If God has something for me to say, I'll say it.
Amen.
But you want to make sure that you're hearing. If I say something, then it cannot contradict what God has already said.
Amen.
Yes?
Yes.
This is serious. Mm-hmm. When you have heard from God, it wasn't a suggestion. God didn't suggest that you stop lying. Mm-hmm. God didn't suggest that you be a faithful employee. Mm-hmm. Right? God didn't suggest that you no longer steal or try to be clever on the internet and sneak around and find sites that you think nobody else will find out about. When he says, be holy, as I am holy, he has spoken.
Yes, amen.
And we're no longer at a time where he's playing games. Judgment begins first where? With us. And it's here. It's here. It's time to stop looking around at others. And it's time to start doing some real careful self-examination.
Amen.
Right? Because it's not a game. We're going to see in just a second. But here's the encouraging part, Christian. Here's the encouraging part. God's wrath and the future punishment that's coming does not destroy those who are righteous, nor does it destroy the work, the labor of the righteous. That's for Christ. Right? You can look at verse 27 again. You got it? Verse 27 says, this phrase yet once more indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, the things that have been made in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Your labor, you know the end of after that great chapter on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15? The very last verse, after he's talked about all of the wonderful privilege and blessing of being of the resurrected body, he says, therefore, now I've taken you to heaven and you understand what's ahead of you. He says, therefore, what? Be steadfast. What? Immovable? Always abounding in the work, the labor of the Lord, for your labor in Christ is what?
Not in vain.
It will not be destroyed. The destruction is coming, but your labor will stem the fire. That's 1 Corinthians 3, right? That hay and wood, hay and stubble, all of those works that you did just because you felt good about it, that there's something that you wanted to do, it might have been okay, it might have been helpful, but if it wasn't what the Lord spoke, told you to do, it's in vain. You get this? So you got to make sure you hear from God, not from Willie and Barry and Daniel or whoever else. I mean, we all got good ideas. I got wonderful ideas about what you can do. But you need to make sure that God has spoken to you, because when you do what he says, it will last forever.
Amen.
Isn't that good? This is the serious part of it. The game is over. This is it. This is the real deal here. And you know, I don't want to try to say we're in the last phase of the race. You know what I'm saying? But we are in the serious phase. Mm-hmm. You kind of see an athletic competition. You can just watch a boxing match or something. A boxing match. You can tell when a boxer gets in trouble, can't you? You tell that one punch, you can tell. You see it in the eyes, and the feet, and all that. I'm saying to all of us, we're at that serious point. Now, if you're a Christian, you're going to be saved. That's not an issue. But the issue is rewards and works. You get it? But you also, you got to be willing to be tested, because you may think you're a Christian and you're not. Mm-hmm. This is the time to shore it up.
Amen.
Yes? Games are over. God is pruning. He's preparing. He's preparing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Amen.
Because the harvest is going to prove what was real and what was not. And then finally, we got a responsibility, because destruction will come to the disobedient, but the wonderful thing is that there's eternal security. and blessing for those that are obedient. So you see, look at my statement here. Those who receive eternal life and an eternal home, the Bible here says that you should be grateful and you should offer God acceptable worship. You got verse 28? Look at it again. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. This is, you can't be clearer than that. If you are saved, you have eternal reasons to be thankful. You don't have to search around and dig through things to see what to be thankful. You're thankful because you're saved. Thankful because you're secure. Thankful because every good and precious promise that God has ever made is good for you. Thankful because He promised to never leave you, never forsake you. He promised that He's going to cause all things to work together for you. Be thankful. Thankful ought to be just a part of the Christian nature. Because every now and then, God wants you to look up and realize, this is not the end of things. This is not the end of the race. Regardless of how, here's how Paul said it. Even when he thought he might die, he says, okay, for those of you who are so concerned about me, to live, what? Is Christ, and what? To die is gain. Yes? So I'm thankful. I'm thankful. That's the reason you see those early apostles and disciples could be thankful that they were found worthy to suffer for Christ. I'm thankful. All those early Christians that were fed to lions and boiled in tar, pulled apart with horses, early Christians that were skinned alive, they put them out in the arena to be eaten by lions, and there they were singing praises to God. Why? Because to live is Christ, and to die is what?
Gain.
Absent from the body,
present with the Lord.
Hallelujah. I'll be with the Lord this day. Just like the thief on the cross, he said, what? Today you'll be with me. The lion may take this life, but Jesus says, those who live and believe in me shall never what? Die. Hallelujah! This is real! This is the real Christian life. We got a reason to be thankful. They may take all your benefits at work, and you know how that works. They bypass you for years. That's passing away. I just want to be found faithful. I'll be faithful in this job as long as God keeps me here. I'll set the example of loyalty. You ain't loyal to me, but I'll be loyal. I'm loyal to the Lord. It's to the Lord that I'm loyal to.
Amen.
I'm in a whatever situation, a relationship. That God is a marriage, whatever the situation may be. I serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm able to love because of the Lord. Because He first loved me, I can love the unlovely.
Amen.
Yes? This is real. This is real Christian living. Because we want to finish the race.
That's right. Yeah.
Because at the finish line, all of that's not going to matter.
All right.
Who didn't like you? Who didn't pay you? Who broke in your house? They cut off a check. They did this. That's not going to matter.
That's right.
Because I'm finished. Yes. Over here, it doesn't matter.
Hallelujah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. I just planned to finish. And I can't let all of this stuff right here get me distracted.
Yes, Lord. That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes? Mm-hmm. So this is all about. But this is all about. And then lastly, why should we do? Why should we respond to God with gratefulness and acceptable worship? Well, I struggle with this sentence. I'll tell you, how do I say this, Lord? And I might not communicate with you, but this is the best I could do. We do this. We respond in gratefulness and acceptable worship because God is dangerously holy. Now I want you to think about that a minute. God is dangerously holy. You remember how he said it in verse 29? For God is what? A consuming fire. Just like the people at Mount Sinai realized, they thought they really wanted to hear from God until God. Now, you remember in Exodus 33, Moses thought the same thing. He said, Lord, I don't want to go out anymore unless your glory goes with me. Show me your glory. You know, he was so determined that he wanted to see God's glory. Remember that? And God said to him, you don't really know what you're asking. You can't stand to see my full glory. Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to hide you. I'm going to write you and put you in the cleft of a rock. And I'm going to, all my glory is going to pass by you. And you're going to be able to see, if you will, the afterglow. That's all you can have, is the afterglow. Everybody that has ever gotten in the presence of God falls down like they can, even those in heaven.
Yes.
And so holy.
Yes.
So holy. Timothy, look at that, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, verse 6. He says that God alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. That's God's glory. His glory. Remember the picture in the temple? His glory filled the temple. Everything has to shut down. He's so holy. He's so holy. And so I guess I just want you to think about that. The reason that we respond to God in gratefulness and acceptable worship is because this is not a game. And if you have not been serious before, it's time for us to be serious when we come here. Just be thankful you are here.
Yes.
Just be thankful that God didn't take you out.
That's right.
Stop being critical about others. Just be what? Grateful.
Yes.
A grateful Christian is useful to God. But a fussing, complaining Christian, you are not useful to God.
That's right. That's right. Say that.
Because all you're focusing on is what's wrong. Mm-hmm. Most of the time with other people and situations. Mm-hmm. God wants you to be thankful for what's right.
That's right.
Yeah?
Amen.
Think about what's right and what's good. Now, how did that? Paul said in Philippians, whatever is pure and you know all that stuff. Good report. Let your mind up. Think on these things. You've got to start focusing on that which is good and right. That'll make you grateful. Yeah?
Amen.
Yeah. And you can't let CNN be your commentary on life. Or Fox News or whatever you listen to. That's your commentary right there.
Amen.
He'll keep you on course. He'll keep you because he's already told you how it ends. Mm-hmm. Yeah? All right. Well, God bless you. Just when you think about this, you realize that the Bible describes our life like a mist and a vapor. I'm 66 years old. I've lived 66 years, and God still said that's like a mist. Okay? Now, I don't know how long I'm going to live, but I mean, you read the Bible, there are people that lived hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And God still said it's like a mist or a vapor. What did he say? Here today? What? Gone. Sometimes people's lives don't even get a verse in the Bible. They just get the name, just gets what?
Mist.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that they weren't important, but you see the point. It's like a vapor. We make too much out of the things that aren't that important. We don't have enough time to be distracted with things that aren't important. I'm not saying that it doesn't affect you, but we got to stay focused. Yeah? We got to finish.
All right. I hope I'm communicating here. Once you have heard from God, then you must respond. If you are stubborn, and disobedient, your world and your works will be destroyed. But if you obey God, your eternal home and your eternal works are eternally secure. Amen. My brother, my sister, I leave you with this. In order to finish your race, you must hear from God. You cannot finish your race if you don't get instruction from God along the way.
Amen.
He is speaking and He is teaching us directly through the Holy Spirit. He teaches us directly through His Word. He teaches us through people. He teaches us through the circumstances of life. Many of the hard things of life are God gives them for lessons. Lessons to be learned. And don't miss this. When you look at the life of Job, you see, don't be Flip Wilson saying that the devil made me do this and that. God used the devil to teach Job lessons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came from the devil, but God, he's God's devil. God knows how to use him to teach you and me. So if God lets him get at you, it's because he wants you to learn something. Something worth living about God and something about you.
Amen.
There's things in your life you need to let go of. Job had to learn that. As much as you love your family and the comfort and the ease of a wealthy life, you got to learn that if you got God, that's enough. I've learned to live when I got plenty. I've learned to live when I got very little. I've learned to be what?
Content. Thank you, Lord.
So sometimes when God lets the devil attack, he's going to teach you how to be content when you don't have what you've been accustomed to. Amen? And you know the end of Job. It wasn't that God was taking it from him altogether. He took it away from him for what? For a season, for a period of time. He had to learn something before. Now, you think Job appreciated his family when he got it back? You think he appreciated his wealth when he got it back? You think he appreciated his friend? Even though his friends were his worst accusers, God said, until you pray for them, your situation is not going to change.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord.
You think his friends were broken and repentant?
Yeah.
But Job had to learn that lesson. Even the best friends can abuse you.
Yes, yes.
Thinking they're doing good. With the best of intentions, they're causing you nothing but harm and hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You getting this? Mm-hmm. So you've got to learn to listen to God. My question to you is, are you hearing from God right now? Mm-hmm. When did God last speak to you? Are you stubborn, rebellious, disobedient, or just simply ignoring what God has to say? We've learned today that this only leads to destruction. Destruction of your life and your works. What is God saying to you right now? You've listened 30 plus minutes. Don't get overly concerned about what I'm saying to you. What is God saying to you?
All
right. Right now. Even if I messed it up. What is God saying to you? Right now. You must obey. Be thankful that He is speaking to you. And humbly obey the Lord. As we've learned here in worship. And daily lifestyle. This is the only way to finish your race. You got to hear from God and you got to obey what He says. But if you recognize that you're stubborn, you recognize that you're rebellious, you recognize that you're stubborn toward the Word of God, toward the people of God, toward the Spirit of God, He brings things clearly to your attention and you ignore it. If you recognize this, then you may not even be a Christian. You remember what we learned early on in Hebrews?
If you're without discipline, then you're not a Christian. You're an illegitimate child. Mm-hmm. You've been going along just like those. There was a mixed multitude that left Egypt. Mm-hmm. You've been going along with the gang. And I'm saying to you, it's time out for that. It'd be horrible. You would break my heart to have been here all this time and you're not willing to examine yourself and see if you're a Christian. I mean, not that I matter, but I'm just saying, it seems like it just makes reasonable sense for you to examine yourself. Make sure I'm real. Yeah?
You cannot finish a race that you have not started. And it all begins with Christ. So, if you recognize that you're not a Christian, come to Christ today. He's here. He'll save you. He'll love you. He'll forgive you. He'll put you in this race. He'll teach you. He'll instruct you. He'll tell you how to live. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your faithfulness to us in every way. Thank you for the ones that you handpicked and selected to be here today. I pray that this little old lump of clay heard from you and that I spoke your will. Anything that was not according to your word or will, I just pray that it be dropped to the ground and forever forgotten. But those things that you have spoken to your people, Lord, rivet them to our hearts.
Yes.
Enable us to hear from you and to obey you, to be grateful and to offer acceptable worship. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.